Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we feel like fucking shit, but the show must go on. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I have a cold. And I'm joined by Kennedy Cooper. Kennedy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, you fuck ass? And before you ask, I'm allowed to say that because I have fucked an ass.
Okay. So,
nice.
I guess I can say, look, we're all friends here.
I don't know why I'm coming in so hot other than I think I'm just feeling more traumatized than usual this week.
It's been
quite
a week.
And I'm going to kick it out on you, a cis straight white man.
Deservedly so. Here's the thing. I'm not going to put up much of a fight.
yeah, so, you're sick, so it's especially easy.
Just walk all over me. I don't fucking care. So it's not just me and Kennedy. We have a guest. We have a goddamn guest joining us for the first time today. Good friend of mine, personal friend, somebody I have been in the same room with like at least seven times and in probably four cities. I don't know. I refuse to count. Please welcome to the show, John Michael Bond. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. Oh,
this is the rare podcast where it's not just a person you're only parasocially online friends with. This is really cool. I've actually hung out with Andrew. Kennedy and I are fresh friends, but I was able to identify a Nutella slice of toast this morning, so I feel like we're already bonding.
Yeah. Bonded over weed and Nutella. That's enough.
Yeah. Weed and Nutella, if you got that in common, that's enough. That's a basis
also,
for a friendship.
Also, I assume if you're friends with Andrew, you don't have, like, abysmal politics, with the exception of one of Andrew's friends that I'm not going to name my name, but that I have met.
But was also like one of the better guests we've had on an episode.
Incredible podcast guest.
I mean, I do have abysmal politics, but it's just about menial things. I believe that peanut farmers should have to register with the state. Things like that.
This you know, you've got to forgive Jimmy Carter one of these days. Okay, I know he's still around, and
the man was a simp. He set us back. He should have had Reagan assassinated after he interfered in national politics. And God is going to make him live for 200 years as punishment for losing America.
Fair enough. I can't really argue with any of the points you're making.
That was all.
The hostages ever get released? Maybe we're the hostages that Reagan kept to win the election. You know,
the real hostages are the friends we made along the way.
I don't know. Doesn't it seem sort of like Jimmy Carter's in a perpetual state of being held hostage by God? Like, yeah. Sure, I know you're supposed to get into heaven, but I'm not going to let you.
Yeah, and also, I mean,
you should have fought harder, Peanut Man.
We all have kind of been held hostage by Reagan's politics for going on like what, 45 years now. So
yeah,
more,
you know,
maybe.
There might be a little more truth to what you're saying than would meet the eye.
I feel like all of our monster presidents got a chance to, like, people stopped feeling the echoing reverberations of their actions eventually, and Reagan's the last one. Where like, oh no, we're just gonna feel your evil every single day,
yeah.
like a bell that rung by a ghost. I like to start podcasts on a positive note.
And that's fair. You came to the right podcast for that. So, being that I am currently under the weather, not feeling good at all, I forgot to mention, in addition to just being a personal friend of mine, John Michael Bond is also a fucking stand-up comedian, a very fun
stand-up
comedian. Yeah, you know, I buried the lead a little bit. John Michael, you have got an album coming out soon. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's called Cry Uncle. It is it's coming out on Brandy Posey's Burn This Records.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, October 18th. It'll be out on video by 4x3 sometime in November. I'm damn proud of it. It is I realized a couple years ago that I wasn't going to be a dad and started really leaning into taking care of my nephews and like trying to be cool to all the kids that I'm not related to. And it kind of changed the way I was writing jokes. So it is if you ever were like, man, I'm not experiencing any of the life milestones that I thought I would in my late 30s. And now I don't know how to stop feeling crushed with anxiety. I have a great comedy album coming out.
And I will
that's
personally
full of jokes
vouch
about sex and serial killers, and it's great.
I will personally vouch. I got to see the hour, I think right before you recorded it, or maybe right after. I think right before.
Yeah, it was like 5 days before. Yeah. It was awesome.
It fucking rips. You're going to love this album. Everybody, I don't know if you can pre-order, but if you can't, just get the fucking album when it comes out. Listen to it. You're going to laugh. You're going to have a good time. You're going to feel different about the children in your life.
The kids are only like 10 minutes of it, but I don't know. I feel like it, I feel like it's, there's a certain subsect of people who have done the best they can in life, and through the economic reality we live in, maybe are missing milestones that they thought were important. And I the thing that I keep having people tell me when they hear it is just like, I think this is going to make someone who's feeling bad feel better. And I was like, cool, could you say it's funny? And they're like, it's also funny. So have a good... it's dope. It comes up on...
It's not about being funny anymore, okay? It's about pushing the boundaries of whatever. So I don't know.
I want to be clear, and I want to brag, there is no clapter anywhere on the album. At no point do I get an applause break for being correct. And I'm really proud of that. I took out a couple things where I just talked about the Fed. I thought it was cheap heat. And it's fun. It comes out on pre-order Monday. And if you email me or send me a message on Twitter or Instagram that you pre-ordered it, I will send you a package of photos.
Oh, is the photo of me? Okay, here's, I do have one slight criticism of the process of the recording of the album. At the show you performed in Pittsburgh, you had your fancy ass camera with you, and you took a picture of me inside the ice cream truck, which it is like 6 months later. I have yet to see this photograph. So,
okay, to be fair, I did spend the last, it's only been 4 months, but I did spend that entire summer having a mild nervous breakdown, teaching myself how to DIY edit every single component of it. So like the audio of the show got screwed up a little bit, and I instead of just hiring an engineer because I couldn't, I taught myself audio engineering.
Fair enough.
I edited a four camera setup by myself, and I was like, sure, I can learn how to do that. And I've just been, if anything, I've been heavily focused on getting this done. But one of the pictures will be Andrew in his ice cream truck. And if you pre-order the album hard enough, I'll make sure you see it before Andrew does.
I do believe that had at the time you took that picture, I had my because I was inside at the show, I had to put up my security system, which is just a sign that says, please don't rob me.
I think I have a picture of that. But yeah, I actually did start editing the tour photos last week. That's the thing, is I am like, I'm a professional photographer in my spare time. So like getting around to editing my stuff always takes second priority to like any dog weddings or no one my age gets married anymore, but by God, their fucking pets are.
I remember a point in my life whenever a friend of the show, Brad, told me that he and his girlfriend had done a 23andMe for their dog and then had met one of the dog's relatives or found one of the dog's relatives through the like dog 23andMe database. And they were doing a Zoom call so that the two dogs could meet over the phone. And here's the thing. I mean, dogs, they can maybe understand their relatives, but only by scent. Showing a dog, first of all, I don't think dogs can even really process images on a screen, but
no,
like,
it seems like there's a lot of RGB there.
But there's also like the big thing is that the dog does not know that dog at all. And unless it can smell its butthole, that dog still does not know that dog at all. And I was just sitting there and I was like, you know what? Okay. this
science has gone too far.
Yeah, we need to shut this down. We need the sun to eat Earth. Speaking of the end of life as we know it.
The most horrifying thing about like a dog being on 23andMe to me is like a dog finding out its great grandfather was a cop in Memphis. And you're like, oh no, I'm descended from bad, bad boys.
Like when I found out I had a distant relative that's like honored as being the oldest living Confederate soldier when he died.
Yeah.
In Mississippi or wherever. And it's just like, oh great. I'm like 7 degrees removed from this guy, but it still feels bad somehow.
If only you had more follow through, he wouldn't have been the oldest Confederate soldier. Yeah, I'm not saying you hold a pillow, but maybe take some heart medicine away, you know? Like,
man.
Like people are too cowardly to do with Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter made a deal with the devil, and it looks like the devil it's like a tortoise in the hare thing. Like for a while, Jimmy Carter was coming out on top. You know, he lost his second presidential run, but then he got to like, even though he did some terrible fuck shit, he became beloved for a second time, you know, doing all that Habitat for Humanity bullshit. And you know, Jimmy, he was looked like, and then it was like, okay, I'm 85, time to die. And the devil's like, motherfucker.
I'm sorry, man. Keeping people alive in their hundreds that's God shit. That's not the devil.
Also,
that's
like,
Old Testament.
I'm not normally a Mandela effect type person, but I swear to God, his death has been announced by reputable news sources many times. And people will tell me, oh yeah, Jimmy Carter's still alive. I'll be like, no, he isn't. Come on, fuck off. Like,
well, they like pre-write obituaries for people like that. Do you know how many times they've had to rewrite Jimmy Carter's obituary? Because they have to update it
every year for the last 10 years, I'm guessing.
Jimmy Carter has entered a new phase. He's the Queen of England, folks. Let's, you know, we've got, speaking of the Queen of England, we've got news. We've got a lot of news, and most of it, if not all of it, bad. However, but yes, I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but well, you know what show you're on.
I'm rejecting your reality.
Before we get to that, though, there's something else. I would argue an even more pressing matter. And that is the fact that we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can sign up. You could get some bonus episodes of the show. You could give us a little bit of money to keep this motherfucking thing going. We have now entered into Shyamalan-tember. No, Shyamalan-tober. Kennedy and I are
Shyamalan temper that nobody asked for, much like many of M. Night Shyamalan's movies.
Correct. Kennedy and I are deep diving the Shyamalan that is M. Night. Our
the
next
twist
episode
is it's great.
Our next episode is Lady in the Water and Old. We are going to be covering two of, I would argue, the most controversial movies he's put out. Well, not controversial, hated. Although I think I liked Old. I liked Old when I watched it, but here's the thing. You
Old's
know me.
Good. Lady in the Water is a temper tantrum.
Oh my God.
Lady in the Water is a guy making the sixth sense about wanting to kill everyone who doesn't like his art.
It really is.
You're going to love it.
I'm
great
so
movie.
Stoked to watch it. Oh my God. And apologies to the listeners. I'm dying over here.
It's actually kind of cool to see you sick because I didn't realize you sneezed like Sylvester the cat. You even come back with a little Sylvester on the delivery. Sorry, everybody.
Suffering succotash.
It's one of Andrew Hillary's many cat-like qualities that he's developed over the years.
Absolutely.
I get my
easily my most cartoon cat like friend.
I get my insane and my fucking cartoon level sneezes from my mom. Actually, she sneezed like she was putting on a show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God!
I've got certain friends I'm not allowed to sneeze in front of because it's so loud and unpleasant. They're like, take that shit outside.
Yeah. Wow. You know what the worst part is? I've never just
shut
sneezed
up, Ryan.
Once. Like.
Yeah, they come in waves, dog.
No, I feel
it's
that.
Like the Tower of Snakes breakdown.
My sneezes individually aren't so dramatic, but I always sneeze like 3 to 75 times.
talk amongst yourselves. I need to blow my nose.
People will just be like, I'll just start I sneeze when I walk in the sun. And okay. Just walk in the sun, I'll just like sneeze like 8 times in a row. People just be like, Kennedy, are you okay? Because I'm just like, achoo, achoo, achoo. And by like the 7th one, you know, they're like, what the fuck's going on here?
I'm cartoonishly pale. I have a sun allergy. I feel like, oh, do you burn poorly? And like, no, I sneeze at the sun.
Yeah, it's a thing. Do you know about this?
No. Do you have a sinus reaction to the solar energy?
Not an allergy per se, but it is like a reaction that some people have when you walk into the bright sun or the bright light after not being in it for a minute. And I'll just like sneeze a whole bunch of times.
I'm a pale ginger with natural red hair. So I am allergic to the sun, but just in the way that I get like third degree burns immediately. It's that I still remember the last time my dad said, I don't know, he'll be all right without sunscreen, when I was like 6 and I looked like I had leprosy. Like, it was so bad.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I am fighting the urge, fighting, you know, it feels so ridiculous to fight off a sneeze, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's your body rejecting something so much it throws it from itself.
Anyways,
without your hands.
Anyways, if you give $10 a month, we say your name. So thank you to Zap Action Zaddy, Dragula 206, Chauncey Yonders, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, The Man in the West, Terminally Online Leftist, Pablo Hubbis, Optimus Crime, Old Hobgoblin, Nandy Angelus Briad, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Josh Trupin, AJ from Baltimore, Index, Goblin Mode, Mega Force Base, and CIA Brain Bugs. Patreon.com/worstweekend. Oh, fuck.
Next time you're sick, send me the list of patrons.
Honestly, the fact that you can't do this, if you don't have it down already, Kennedy, that's saying something about
how high I am during every recording of this show.
Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
You know, weed causes memory loss and one other problem.
Snack loss. Munchies, folks, that's the level of comedy we're at right now. I am dying. Can we just skip to the end of the show? Oh, no, we can't, because we have to talk about, for once, there has been somewhat of an a better development in the ongoing war, or I would say genocide, happening in Gaza, and that is that Israel got a bit of a bloody nose this week.
Yeah.
And you know, again, I've said from the beginning, like, no matter how terrible and awful this, I don't want anybody to be blown up on either side. That's not how I think anything should be solved. But the good news is that
about that on this show.
The good news is that Iran launched a barrage of missiles at Israel. And instead of, like, you know, leveling apartment complexes or blowing up people in a tent, they just hit military targets and didn't even kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't even know you could do that. I thought you had to blow up people.
It wasn't for Israel's best efforts. That was the reporting this week about that was great, because they were like, do you understand civilians could have been hurt? Those targets were in heavily populated areas. And we're like, oh, is that a problem now?
Oh, my God. Like, I've said multiple times.
Every part
times,
of the coverage has been
to
insane.
Blow up your target in the grocery store.
I've said multiple times that it's, like, basically futile to point out hypocrisy. But, John Michael, you're so right. The fact that they were like, that you could have hurt somebody. Like, shut the fuck up, you freaks.
The there was heavy casualties during an invasion also this weekend, and all the reporting was like, is brave Israeli soldiers killed by terrorists. And I'm like, if you're in their country, you're the terrorist, bro.
They called the people defending an invasion terrorists. It's fucking crazy. It's so wild.
Imagine Germans on D-Day being like, oh no, these terrorists are on the beach. That's a horrible German accent, but I'm going to lean into it.
No, you've done the right thing.
As the Jewish correspondent of the show, I'm going to allow this.
as the Jewish.
If you're going to be a bigot towards German accents.
That's right. Or Italians. Either of those are fair game.
Italians are the most fun people to be bigoted towards.
I've always said, you know, I kind of do like want to maybe visit Italy someday, but like I'm going to have the hardest time not just like looking at every street sign and being like, oh, bippity boopity street. Like,
here's the thing,
oh, man.
You can get away with that there. They don't mind. They let you. You can do whatever you. There's no laws in Italy. It's the purge. Look, I was in fucking Venice and I was getting ready to go. I was staying at a hostel. And I was getting ready to go out and get drunk at some fucking bar I couldn't pronounce the name of. And this, I think it was a British guy. He was like, hey, just so you know, there's no age of consent in Italy. And I was like, hey, man, why are you bringing this up? Like, that's so fucked up. Italy does have its problems, mainly the British. What the fuck are we talking? Oh, yeah. So Israel, after attempting to invade Lebanon and getting the shit kicked out of them, they have
like 300 casualties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They then resorted to, you know, they just started blowing up a bunch of fucking buildings in Beirut. I think last night, as of this recording, was the most bombs that they've dropped. Like the whole fucking skyline is just explosions and everything. It's really terrible.
At a certain point, you're cheating for a record if you get it every other week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, like.
But the one other development to come out of that conflict is the fact that this week, Al Jazeera has started releasing some videos where they have, over the last year, they have captured just like a metric ton of content that IDF soldiers have posted on social media of them doing fucking war crimes. And like the thing is that because Israel's primary motivation is just complete total racism, deeming Palestinians as inhuman, they don't even think for a second about the fact that they are capturing themselves on video doing things that are illegal.
Yeah, I don't think we ever appreciated, and I would say I don't necessarily appreciate it, how much having TikTok during war was going to add extra whimsy to war crimes.
Yeah.
People are like, you know what, before I would have just put on this blood-covered dress, but now I'm doing it to the Benny Hill song.
Didn't you see enemy of the show, Brianna Wu, this week tweeted that when the KKK came to protest at college campuses, they were never violent like Free Palestine.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I always forget. Famous pacifists, the KKK.
Yeah, famously never associated with any violence against any groups, the KKK.
You know, it's really they're the model for how people
famously
should be.
Famously never having done violence to the Jews, the KKK.
Yeah.
Well, that was their thing was more night violence, not day protest violence. Because that's the thing that people really didn't appreciate about the Klan is outside of the murderous terrorism, it was also the only outlet for festive racists. So, like, you know, if you're just in there boiling with hate, the only time you got to be in a parade is when you and your boys put on your sheet to go downtown. And if you had just embraced your love of crafting for non-evil purposes, progress would have come a lot faster.
This is why
there's just a lot of dudes who are in it for the outfits.
This is why I've been saying more places should just be like New Orleans. Like in New Orleans, you can just have a parade for no reason.
Absolutely.
And like that's the kind of outlet people are looking for. But no, you have to be like, oh, parade. The only way we're going to have a parade is if it's a hate march. It's like, man.
The only way we're going to have a parade is if we're commemorating the day that 5,000 people died in a pogrom that we did.
Right?
Ugh.
See, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that they're non-racist Klan members. I'm saying everyone back then was racist, but only some of them needed special outfits.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyways, what the fuck? I'm, you know, listeners and co-hosts and guests, I'm going to just apologize. I am fucking out of it right now. I keep saying, like, what am I doing? And then I'm like, oh, there's, like, literally a microphone in my hand.
Look down at your notes. Remember, you're just going to treat this podcast like you're the main character in Memento from here on, okay?
I don't feel drunk. So, moving on. And, oh, I don't know if I mentioned this, that Al Jazeera has started posting these videos naming the names of these IDF soldiers. So, like...
Holy shit, what?
Yeah, no, like, their names and their ranks. Because, incredible. Again, these were just posted on their own social media of them doing... things that you that, like of war crimes. So from what I understand, like this technically won't be prosecutable until the ICC comes to the conclusion of the case that they're working on about the war crimes in Israel. But should that verdict come back, like, yeah, they're doing war crimes, like obviously, what will happen is that all of these soldiers, all of these IDF soldiers who have been identified will then be eligible to be arrested the moment that they step foot into a country that recognizes the ICC's decision. So,
wow.
Yeah, a lot of these IDF soldiers now will just be trapped in Israel.
Or they'll flee to America.
Fair. Yeah, like- Fair. I forgot. I forgot.
Come on. One exception. You know we're going to give... We're going to give cover to the devil.
And when we say flee to America, I think it should be noted that aren't like a lot of people that live in Israel just Americans that moved over there or something?
Or yeah. Like, oh, tons.
Yeah. I don't know. I started to have that thought, and then I'm like, am I doing an anti-Semitism?
I will say
not even that, from there.
It's a lot of American settlers there. That's it. That is a reasonable thing to say.
Okay.
It's a little on the nose after America gave sanctuary to Germans who committed war crimes that we're also going to be a sanctuary for IDF soldiers who committed war crimes. Not that they're accidentally creating any parallels anywhere with all of the murder and genocide.
Come on.
It's the Kissinger rule. Well, how many deaths have you caused? All right, get on in here.
Anyways, we have to move on.
Rest in Kissinger.
Rest in Kissinger, friend of the show. This is fun. This week, a hurricane tore through the United States. Hurricane Helene hit. This was wild because, like, every time they're like, oh, there's a storm in the Gulf, it's going to strengthen. You know, you usually watch, and like sometimes they end up slowly building up and it's, you know, pretty bad, but a lot of time they kind of, you know, they were catastrophizing. This went from like a tropical storm to a category 4 in like a day, just because of how hot the waters in the Gulf are. Like, this became like very rapidly a huge problem. And then it just, I mean, it hit Florida, but then it kind of worked its way up into the interior of the country. And that's something that, like, you know, you don't typically think of like rural, like northwestern rural Georgia as being like in the path of a hurricane. Like between Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, and of course, North Carolina was hit the hardest. Like this storm, like
in Kentucky.
It's just
not getting covered at all.
Yeah, no, that is true. And I do want to, I want to emphasize Western North Carolina in some ways because I used to live there, but I don't want Kentucky and other places to get forgotten.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I think it's like all important to talk about like all of it. It's just wild that like places where people were like, well, there's like a once in a century storm here. We're protected because we're in the mountains. Like people are now learning how deeply global warming can just appear everywhere, you know, like our climate change at least. Can like impact things fucking no matter how deep into the country you are. And we've got like you were from Western North Carolina or Western Carolina.
I'm not from there, but I lived there for about a decade of my life. So
yeah, anywhere you spend more than 5 years, you're from.
Yeah.
You're just from lots of places, you know? We've got friends in Asheville, like Andrew and I, that like we love a lot, and just like watching them try to piece everything together and just like have to. Yeah, it's no one saw a lot of this shit coming, and it's just, it's heartbreaking. It's sad.
And the terrifying thing now is, like, as the days stretch on, it's like, you know, initially there was a lot more hope for some of those missing persons numbers. But then after like a week or so, a lot of those missing persons are not going to turn up statistically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just like right now, that's still kind of currently being downplayed by the media, but it's like, dude, there's going to be thousands dead in Asheville when this is said and done. And they're just pretending like it's maybe 50 or so, like trying to play it down.
Oh God. I didn't realize there were that many missing persons. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, just entire towns
being
washed away.
I mean, we don't even know
away.
How many people are actually missing. That's the thing about a disaster like this.
Yeah.
Like, there's missing persons that people still haven't even figured out are missing.
And there's people who come into work every day who live, like, 30 miles away on, like, the opposite side of the mountain. Like, there's just a bunch of elements of community that have to be pieced back together.
Yeah.
Though there is hope. My friend who lives in Nashville and books comedy says that she is still getting booking request emails.
Yeah,
so,
I did see that.
I want you
shout
you know,
out to Melissa. She's great.
No matter how bad things get, it's important to remember that comedians are a parasitic ecosystem that will constantly show up and say, "Can I have something?"
Oh yeah. The depravity knows no bounds.
Yeah, not every story is grim. There have been some nice stories about people coming together. There are resilient mountain folk out there that are capable of things that regular folks might not be capable of. Mm-hmm. Like there's mule teams bringing people supplies. You wouldn't get that everywhere.
Right.
There's some neat stories like that. There's also some stories about the police wasting a bunch of time guarding the Biltmore and standing outside of grocery stores to make sure nobody steals a bottle of water.
I think the thing that's like kind of hopeful and beautiful, like even in the face of these tragedies, is like America has this real weird issue where, you know, everybody is like, I hate socialism. And then the minute a disaster happens, everybody in these counties, with the exception of some very intense militia guys, tend to be like, I've got a well that's below the contaminated water line. I'm going to fill up water tanks and drive around and give them to families. I've got firewood. I've got like people really come together, and it's been kind of beautiful looking at the stories coming out of a lot of these cities as people are just kind of like, all right, what do we have to do to survive? And some of that is just because of like the spirit of people in Appalachia who have expected to be abandoned by the government. And they're like, we have to make for our own. That's kind of what happens here. But also like, it is cool to see how immediately people drop a lot of the bullshit pretenses of capitalism and are like, no, we're here to take care of each other. And it's been really beautiful to see that in the face of all the bullshit this week.
Definitely. Definitely. I did just want to take a moment though, to talk about how the right wing has reacted to this storm. Which, you know, suffice
which
it to say,
did.
Has been insane. So,
I mean, Andrew, we did cause, the liberals did cause it using our space lasers.
Well, is that what Marjorie Taylor Greene meant by calling it they control the weather? The liberals. Okay, I thought she was going for something else there, but that's...
I don't think her
good old
support...
Marjorie Taylor Greene, 2 weeks ago, she's calling out her colleagues for racism. Today, she's back on one, motherfucker. You can't stop her.
The Marjorie giveth and the Marjorie taketh away.
The thing about evangelical Christian hate is when they say they, that tent's gotten real big. You know, like your traditional theys and brackets, every queer person, every blue-haired guy who's straight. Like, there's a big tent of hatred that they think that they is.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's been, you know, aside from just the people saying that like the Democrats did this or something, like, you know, that's clearly just insane. There's been something that I've seen, and I know it's just because there's an election in a month or whatever, but like the amount of people who are saying that like the federal government is like purposefully abandoning people, or that like Joe Biden's only doing, or honestly, they're just saying that this is what Kamala's doing, which again, like, you know, we'll talk about the VP debate in a little bit, but like, I get that you have to say Kamala's doing it because you're running against her now, but like, Kamala is not making a single fucking decision at the of policy mm-hmm. in this country. That's not how it works, and you fucking know it's how it works.
In fact, it's a weird concession on their part to something they shouldn't be conceding necessarily from
absolutely.
Like a politically savvy perspective. And obviously, I don't care if the Republicans are making bad moves. But it's just kind of curious to see them concede that when it's like they should be saying, like, Kamala Harris has no real leadership experience. Being a vice president for 5 minutes doesn't mean shit, right? Like something, an attack along those lines would be a lot more effective. But instead, now they're acting like, well, Kamala Harris is the president right now, which is like, that's making her seem more powerful and like,
oh, yeah,
better and cooler in some ways than she is, at least to like some groups of people.
I mean, they did a really good job of convincing a chunk of America that we were in a Weekend at Bernie's situation with Biden. So I think that the comforting answer sometimes is that she's in control. they're like, what do you mean to tell me that guy's driving? I think it's interesting because like a lot of the comments about like, oh, we're not doing enough. It comes from the people like, look at the response that we had with like FEMA and Katrina, which was also notoriously bad. But like the difference is New Orleans was one large space. It was larger if you like as a space, but it wasn't like 5,000 different communities that are facing like destroyed roads and flooding and like that you have to fly things into. The organization to rebuild something like this is insane.
Just the number of bridges that are lost. And I think another thing people don't realize is just that, like, you know, I mean, it's still completely tragic and we need to respond and do things when this happens in more coastal areas, but also they are semi-prepared for it. A lot of these areas, this is like the biggest flooding that they've had in 100 years or more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
That nobody's prepared for that whatsoever. And it came in the middle of the fucking night, which is just terrifying.
And lastly, I did just want to touch on, I forgot to write this down, but there was, I believe in North Carolina, there's this factory. It's a plastics manufacturing place.
Tennessee.
Okay. Where employees told their boss that like, hey, there's like massive storms coming. Like, can we leave? And the boss basically was like, you could go move your cars so they don't get flooded, but like if you go home, you're fired. And then 6 of his employees were killed.
He just released a 45-minute statement explaining how it's not his fault.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know it was that long. I saw a clip of it. But he's, you know, going through and basically, I mean, I'm assuming that he didn't tell them not to leave in writing because he was just like, I never said that. And like, if it is hearsay, you know,
yeah,
you can kind of just do that.
His argument was, he was like, look, everyone had at least 45 minutes before the deadly storm surge hit and hit the factory. And I was the last one who left and I survived. So if you couldn't, you know, that's on you. But like everyone got at least almost an hour to get home in a rural area from flooded roads and destroyed bridge. Like, it was even by the standards of Lex Luthor-y rich people, really fucking evil.
Truly. Truly horrifying shit. Yeah, so it's, you know, the fact that this is just the way that our country operates is, you know, if you leave, you're fired. Oh, you're dead. And, you know, this guy, I mean, hopefully this is the kind of person that I'm like, I am against the fact that we have prisons, but if we are going to have them, this should be like the number one candidate for being in a jail cell for the rest of his life. You know, it's,
well, it's like I say all the time, who do we let out of prison last?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm all for prison abolition, but sometimes people bring up prison abolition in regards to like this guy. And I'm like, no, let's talk about like black people jailed for marijuana offenses And let's let the state fucking arrest this guy if they can, actually.
Yeah. Or you know what? What about a little bit of cruel and unusual punishment? Have him be one of those what's that thing that they put in like fairs and stuff, like the dunk tank? Make that guy have to do that for the rest of his life, every single day.
Oh, man. See, that's the thing. I don't believe in federally put together prisons, but I do think like locals could take their richest person once or twice a year and just like hit him in the balls with tennis rackets. I think I think street justice is sometimes the answer.
You need to bring back stockades, just like putting people you don't like in the stockade for a few hours and letting people throw tomatoes and shit at them.
Oh my
God. Tar and feathering. You know, I think that there's only, I think you should only be able to do it to someone with more than $15 million. 10, oh, yeah. 5, 3, $3
million. $3
million. I had to think of, if you got $3 million.
I'm also landing on 3 here.
I think there should be purge rules for anyone with $3 million who doesn't have a plan. Like Francis Ford Coppola, and he didn't get $100 million to make Megapolis on his own. All right, we'll let you build some money, but it's going to be in a controlled bank account. Anyone with more than $3 million and no plan, you should be able to like open like purge rules.
Yeah.
You've got the money to survive.
I think here's this.
Live
is
it on expert mode.
This is something I'm just coming up with now, but I'm liking a lot as it's tumbling around in my brain. I think there should be no limits on how much money you should have, but if you have an obscene amount of wealth, you should be mandated to every few years blow it all on a big gamble, like making a ridiculous fucking magnum opus movie or something like that. Like you should be, you shouldn't be allowed to hold on to it. You should have to play with it. You know, sometimes you'll lose, sometimes you'll win. You'll get more money. Who gives a fuck? You already had enough money to be God, but I haven't seen Megalopolis yet. I can't fucking wait. Every review has been like seesawing back from this is the best thing I've seen to the worst thing I've seen. And like, oh, I can't wait. I can't fucking wait.
Any art that completely divides an audience is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Plus, like
if it's one and a little like 30-40 or 30-70, 70-30, I don't know if it's going to be good. But if it's 50-50 across the board, I know it's great art. I'm about to lose some respect for some friends.
Also, like I was blessed with just like the dumb guy energy that like every movie I've ever seen, as long as it's the last movie I've seen, is the best movie I've ever seen. So like, I'm like primed audience for a dumb fucking crazy spectacle.
I can sometimes be a little contrarian pilled about media, but to be honest, I wanted to assume maybe there's some magic to Megalopolis that a lot of people are missing. Because I'm really into film, and I don't know, I like stuff sometimes that other people don't like. And every clip I've seen of Megalopolis so far has felt like an AI-generated prank. Like, every time I see a fucking clip from it, I'm like, this isn't real, right? This is an SNL sketch making fun of the movie. No, it's the actual fucking movie. So,
That's the problem with the AI slop, is like there are people who have been spending a decade of their life making their slop. And now because of the AI shit, their bad art no longer is unique and standing out.
Well, hey, while we're on making the subject,
there's apparently a shot from that was shot on 9/11.
What?
By Francis Ford Coppola. That like is briefly in the movie, but like,
oh my God, best movie of the year.
Roll cameras. We'll use the footage later.
Oh,
I haven't seen the movie yet. I've just was told this. If it's not true, it's a testament to how great the build to this film is.
Good God. I can't fucking wait. Well, hey, while we're on the subject of terrible media, I want to just briefly talk about, I heard that there is some metal festival that a bunch of the bands are dropping out of. It's called Shell Shock Festival.
Yep.
And so what happened is a bunch of the bands dropped out this week because they found out that the featured guest of Shell Shock Fest was Kyle Rittenhouse.
Let's open up this pit in the most terrifying way.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, if Kyle Rittenhouse offers to open up the pit, you need to get the fuck out of there as fast as you can and start calling your loved ones.
It's interesting that a Florida hardcore fest literally brought in a crowd killer.
Wow. Wow, really interesting.
Damn.
Yeah, their current headliner for the fest, now that so many bands have dropped out.
I wanna say, so the headliner of the festival was a band called Evergreen Terrace, which I've heard of them. I don't know them, but whatever. So Evergreen Terrace, they were like, we are not fucking doing this. We're not getting involved with Kyle Rittenhouse. Like, this is absurd. So then they replaced Evergreen Terrace with a Slipknot cover band.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like a bunch of bands dropped out, so it's not even like they could just pick the second or third best band. That band also has left the bill. And so, a Slipknot cover band is the headliners of this festival. Do you know how shit-ass your festival looks if a cover band is the headliner?
I think the worst part is because it's a Slipknot cover band, that means there are 9 people who are okay performing with Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, like huge... I think, you know, Slipknot doesn't really need 9 people. I think this cover band is like 5 people and they're just not.
I'm a Slipknot apologist. If you're playing the songs right, you need all the guys. You need the dude pretending to be a DJ. You need the guy pretending to do the drum machines.
You need a guy to hit a barrel.
Okay, percussion wise, the barrel is really important, and so it's a beer keg.
You're not a Slipknot apologist. You're a Slipknot.
No, I'm a fan of Slipknot.
You're a Slipknot absolutist.
Slipknot combines all of the things that I loved about Christian ska and marching bands, and they're an underrated musical product. They're one of the purest American bands. 9 guys from a small town who all have agreed to pretend to be friends for 25 years for the name of a small business. If that's not America, I don't know what is.
Fair enough. Okay, let's talk.
It's 5 now because they've killed or lost a couple of them. But even that, very America.
You guys, so it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, if they're still in the masks, who gives a fuck, dude? Okay, let's talk about the vice presidential debate. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. It's already old news. And like, here's the thing. I don't think really either way it means much. But I do just want to say that like J.D. Vance is a slimy piece of shit, but he is good at debating. Tim Walz, like, I think, you know, he's got some issues, but you know, overall seems like a decent enough guy, whatever. But he's a terrible debater. Like this is like the last big event, at least big planned thing before the election. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if either of you two watched it. J.D. Vance smoked Tim Walz. And here's the thing. I've seen a lot of people who are either like liberal or leftist, and they're saying like it was a draw or like Walz won or whatever. He did not. He looked bad. He was stuttering, stumbling. He was like, obviously there were multiple times where he was just like, you know, doing some fucking bullshit answer that he had memorized or whatever. That was just unnatural. Wasn't good. I don't know. It's
they neutered him.
Yeah.
They hired Tim Walz and they were like, the first weekend, everyone loved him. He was like, look at these guys. They're weird. I just want to build a kid's bike. Like he was folksy and had like a positive, popular leftist in a lot of ways point of view. And then the Harris campaign, which seems dedicated to just shooting all of the worst parts of 2016 in their arm every day, was like, hey, don't do any of the shit that makes people like you.
Yeah.
So he of course he lost. He wasn't himself. He was the Harris campaign's version of what he was supposed to be, which is warmongering for Israel and like not calling them weird and like not talking about social programs and being like, I also agree immigrants are the problem.
Yeah,
you can't win by being the same.
there were multiple times where he was like, well, I agree with J.D. Vance there. I think we have a lot in agreement. And it's like, dog, no, no, no. First of all, he's saying bad things. Third of all, he's also just lying. Yeah, I know I skipped second of all. The second of all is fuck you.
Just don't agree. You don't have to agree. You don't have to hand it to pieces of shit. That said, I think that he lost from some perspectives, but also, A, nobody really gives a shit about the vice presidential debate.
That's, yeah. That's why it's I didn't want to spend a long time breaking it down.
And B, I mean, J.D. Vance did have the most meme-worthy gaffes of the debate. Like, Walls was bad, but just in a boring way overall.
I beg to differ that there was one gaffe, which I think was the best line of the debate on either side, which came from Tim Walls when he said, I've become friends with school shooters.
Okay, that was funny as shit.
I mean, who amongst us that likes metalcore hasn't become friends with school shooters?
You know, we've all been there.
We've all been there. Come on.
I'm sorry. I was told there would be no fact checking.
Yeah, like, ridiculous. Just fucking pathetic loser shit.
That fucking, like, that alone, even though overall I would agree with you in a lot of ways, I think that line alone and just how much it's been memed on.
There's
in some ways J.D. Vance lost that debate because just like, like that is like so exemplary of like what people are getting sick of to some extent. And like, especially like those critical undecided voters, some of them are really, really sick of this shit.
Yeah.
So
he also refused to say that Donald Trump lost in 2020. And again, like, I know that all of that is bad. It's just that, like, J.D. Vance, you know, a lot of people, politics doesn't, they're already fucking racist. So, like, all the crazy shit blaming everything on immigrants, that isn't actually a problem. But, like, J.D. Vance looked very polished and confident. And, like, that's as deep as it gets for a large chunk of the electorate. And that's why I'm saying, like, even though, like, the substance of what he said was appalling and lies and wrong, like, he has had a reputation of being a weird freak. He came out on that stage, and he looked like a very good politician. It, like, context
people
aside.
I forgot that, like, all this weird freak shit is shit that he's said to other weird freaks.
Yeah, or, like, just the cashier at a donut store.
Yeah, or, you know, the occasional thing like that, but, like, for the most part, in general, most of the stuff that people have dredged up that's really like the weirdest shit that he's said is from podcasts where he's talking to, like, you know, what's the equivalent of like Stalin's balls 420 for the right? Like
Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, Tucker Carlson's balls 88 probably. So he's on a podcast with some YouTuber with like 900 subscribers. That's just like a blatant Nazi, you know. That's where some of these clips have come from, where J.D. Vance has said the craziest shit, is like literally this kind of thing, you know. And so, you know, when he's talking to a guy like that, then he just says crazy stuff back at them, right? But like, he knows how to act normal. And, like, people thought that, like, he wouldn't know how to act normal. And it's like, you know, he knows how to fucking act normal. How do you think he got elected?
Yeah.
Right.
But I did see some
It's
clips.
Interesting.
Oh, sorry.
I was just saying, it's like, it's interesting whenever he, like, pops in on a podcast. Because even when he's on something mainstream, he can't control himself. So he'll be like, he'll be normal for 3/4 of it. But then he'll just say something like, I think, you know, single moms are the devil, but also women who work as waitresses and then just go home at the end of the night and have no children should be round up, put in camps and bred. And you're like, wait, what the fuck did you just say? Like his opinions are so like extreme, but he is so casual about the way that he talks specifically about the humanity of normal people that like when Walt says shit like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of air between us. It's like, no, man, you can't give an inch anywhere with these people.
Yeah. That is extremely disheartening and stupid.
So moving on to another extremely disheartening and stupid person, Elon Musk. He's had quite a week. You know, he's living his dream right now. Elon Musk joined Donald Trump to, I would say, completely embarrass the fuck out of himself at Trump's return to Butler rally. Elon Musk did a little 2-inch jump in the air. I don't understand how this man cannot jump more than an inch and a half off the ground. It is crazy.
He looks like a PS2 character jumping.
I don't know why he keeps letting himself do this on camera. Here's the thing. Elon Musk is a fascist. He's a piece of shit, but he does want to be liked. He does not want to be made fun of. It is crazy that he keeps letting himself look so stupid on camera. It's mind-boggling.
He's just a mega dork. He's not capable of anything else.
Like the jump is so bad. Also, Elon Musk's mom told people that they should vote multiple times. She's like, register in 10 different precincts and vote 10 times. If we each vote 10 times each, that's how we'll compete. That's what the Democrats are doing. This isn't even a crime. It's like,
good. I'm all in favor of her committing massive acts of election fraud. I feel like we need as much right-wing election fraud as humanly possible this time. Because the last time they did it massively and were caught constantly, and it still wasn't enough for them to stop being like, look, if we're doing it, you guys are doing it. I need more grandmas in jail.
So I'm just actually having a thought right now.
Oh, no, that's dangerous.
No,
I'm on team jail grandma.
This is a good one. I think. So Kennedy and I and our other co-host, we've been saying for a while now that, like, at least like the last 6 months or so, that, like, I know Elon Musk is a very rich, very powerful person, but, like, he's just blatantly fucks everything up so much. Like, someday it is going to catch up with him. He is going to get brought down. And so, I've been thinking.
Why he's pushing for Trump.
Well, it literally just clicked in my head. The reason why he's throwing it all in behind Trump is like, maybe this motherfucker knows he's about to go down, and he's like, I just need to fucking get a pardon, and so I'm going to throw my whole thing. But I never thought about that angle because, like, it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's the insane thing to me is like, okay, let's assume for a moment that Elon Musk is as annoying as we see him to be, and that means that somehow he never actually got to party with Epstein, because even that guy was like, I can't fucking handle this dude.
That's why it bothers him so much that we're always like, ooh, that photo of Elon, and you know,
yeah, because he never closed the deal.
God damn it, I wanted to go to the fucking pedo island and they didn't let me.
But now, with the arrest of Puff Daddy, someone who is also a needy dork who was a different kind of CIA asset, most likely, I think there is visual proof of Elon doing something stupid. And he's like, all right, after Puff Daddy was arrested, Musk was like, I will campaign with Trump instead of just fighting to make sure that Twitter is entirely Trump ads.
Yeah. Interesting. He
finally found the one person who would let him hang out.
I also did see that this week the Wall Street Journal revealed that Elon Musk has been giving like tens of millions of dollars to Republican groups for like the last few years, like even before Trump was running again. Like in 2022, he gave like $50 million to Stephen Miller's PAC that was like, party for sanity or something. Blood and soil. Let's call it that. So I don't know. It's fuck this guy. Speaking of fuck this guy, Donald Trump, the other man on that stage, this week, Donald Trump's indictment was unsealed. You know, the one about him trying to steal the election. Well, it turns out he tried to steal the election.
What? This is the first time hearing of this because I was born yesterday, and also in the one day I've been alive, I haven't learned anything.
Yeah, you wasted that first day. I'm not going to lie.
I just was like, yo, what's this thing you call cannabis?
Yeah, that was literally your first mistake. So, yeah.
My first words. Also.
Weed. Yeah, so, I don't know. Donald Trump, he did crimes. I don't know. This is, here's the thing. There's, like, nothing here that we haven't already fucking known for. Joe Biden should have fucking prosecuted Donald Trump on January 21st of 2021. Like, the fact that, yep, that he did treason on live TV. This should, he should not be in this election right now. He should be in jail. And this is... This shouldn't even be fucking happening. Joe Biden was like, well, in the spirit of bipartisanship, we're going to, you know, we're going to look forward instead of backward. It's like, nah, dog, this dude did a treason, yeah, and he's going to do it again.
It should be Kamala Harris versus Nikki Haley right now. Oh.
The redacted court report that came out, as horrifying as is for democracy, had one of the great moments of unintentional comedy with government redacting, where it talks about how Trump harassed the governor of Georgia from November through January by tweeting like 40 times about how he was like helping steal the election. And the way it's redacted is the governor of Georgia, and then it just blanks out Brian Kemp's name. And it says, governor of Georgia blank like 30 times, and it's incredible.
We knew who that guy was.
I thought you were going to be talking about this. There's a second piece of unintentional comedy in this report or whatever, in this indictment, that is potentially one of my favorite things ever. So it's a text from Rudy Giuliani where he is talking about, he's talking to somebody in Michigan about how they like their plan to have the legislature push to dispute the charge or the election results so that they are able to, like, you know, with the time it takes to dispute it, they're able to go back and do all this, blah, blah, blah. And here's the thing is that Rudy Giuliani texted that to the wrong number.
Wow, dog.
Rudy Giuliani just texted like detailed, intricate election stealing results to the wrong number. Fucking incredible.
It's just amazing how bad Rudy Giuliani has turned out to be at stuff.
Yeah. To go from being the mayor of New York to being like completely incapable of being corrupt. That's crazy.
I mean, being the mayor of New York does that too.
No. That he was like, you should be better at doing corruption if you were the mayor of New York. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you should be a pro at corruption. But no,
I don't know. I'm actually starting to think it's like a fail upwards thing to become the mayor of New York based on what we're seeing.
You know, fair enough. Yeah, Eric Adams, he's definitely not going pro after the corruption he's been pulling off. Let's see. We got a couple more things. There's not a lot to this story, but it is just another chapter of how horrifying the future is and will be. So apparently Uber doesn't let you sue them if you get seriously injured in an Uber. A story came out this week that a New Jersey couple received life-altering injuries after getting into an accident in the backseat of an Uber. And they... this was in February of 2023, and this has gotten like back and forth since then. But like, apparently they filed this lawsuit to be like, hey, like, we will never be the same functioning human beings again. Can we please have some like financial compensation since this happened on your watch? And apparently Uber, in their terms and services, says you're not allowed to sue us if you get hurt.
They didn't even sign the terms and services themselves.
Yeah, their daughter did, who is a minor.
Their daughter ordered a pizza using Uber Eats, and that grandfathered the entire family into not being able to sue Uber without doing arbitration.
Yeah, And I don't know exactly what arbitration, like how the ins and outs of how arbitration works, but basically like this takes it out of a public courtroom where, you know, at the very least there is like the facade of possibility of justice, and it puts it into a fucking back room with somebody that, you know, who the fuck, where the fuck do they even come from? They're like on, it's like a third party, but it's hired by Uber, right?
Right. Yeah. The big issue with arbitration is that it's like, unless you are also rich, like, you know, like court cases are already skewed towards the rich, but there is a chance that, you know, like the underdog can win in a court case sometimes, and we see it happen. When things go into arbitration, it's like, if you are not also as rich as the person you're going after and you're in arbitration, you're basically fucked.
Yeah,
like they can just use money to fucking bury it from there.
Yeah, yeah. Horrifying.
And the most fucked up part is that corporations like this, they don't want to set a precedent of paying for things like this. And so they'll pay more in legal fees than it would take to just like do something right by these people, just so that no precedent gets set that, oh, we pay for stuff like that.
Yeah, and like this is going to, I assume that this is going to happen more and more frequently as we see, like, there are terms and conditions for fucking everything you do through your phone now. That, like, to the point that, like, there was a joke on South Park 15 years ago about how nobody reads the terms and conditions, but, like, nobody does. And I mean, I guess technically
it would be impossible to.
Yeah. Or like, to, like, if you, for everything, them and understand them at least.
No, I mean, even just to, like, to actually read every word for every time you're asked to sign terms and conditions every year. No one has the time to read that many books.
Yeah. It's just like, if we put paragraphs and paragraphs of words, we can find ways to fuck people over in the future. It's basically what it boils down to. And that fucking sucks. And I don't know. I hate this. I don't really have much to say about it, but I feel like this is going to happen more and more. Like we saw it a month or so ago with the Disney family.
It's either going to happen more and more, or we're going to have to, like, as a society, put our foot down and have some kind of big ruling about this, because, like, and of course, is the latter going to happen? Who the fuck knows? But I'm just saying, like, these are our options, basically. Like, either this is going to keep happening, or we're going to have to, like, do something where we say, like, these long-ass terms and conditions have to end permanently.
I mean, this is what regulation is supposed to be. I mean, like, it's one of those things that just drives me insane, because, like, well, how are we going to solve it? Easy. We set terms and conditions. We have government regulation that limits how our information is used. We have government regulations about what we can and cannot be forced to sign our shit away without, like, actually having a lawyer consulted. Like, it would just require Democrats at any point in any level of the government to say enough of this bullshit and put an end to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe the
Very
Democrats
funny.
Will say enough of this bullshit. I don't know. Maybe not.
Never. Never.
I don't have high hopes for that. Oh, remember High Hopes, Pete Buttigieg? Gosh, whatever happened to him? Anyways.
Our choices are old Republicans or new Republicans now.
Yeah.
Like,
So, again, you know, something to keep an eye out for, just the ever-growing list of ways in which we have no fucking power. And the Democrats that are supposed to be on our side just sit back and let this happen while they collect the fucking contributions from these evil corporations. Fun stuff. I want to end with a good news story. I think this might be one of our best stories that we've had on the show.
Fuck yeah.
So this week, the government of the United Kingdom announced that they are officially handing over control of the Chagos Islands that are in the Indian Ocean back to Mauritius. Mauritius? I don't know exactly how to say that. But they are relinquishing control of these islands. And so what this means is that for the first time in over 200 years, the sun will set on the British Empire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God.
They don't get to say that anymore. Fucking nerds.
Fuck the British.
So the article that I saw, the headline was, for the first time in 200 years, the sun will set on the British Empire. And the quote tweet of it was just somebody said the word washed.
It's incredible. Funny.
That made me so happy. Britain, you done fucked up, mate. Fish and chips, isn't it?
Oh man, just an incredible centuries long record of unjustified supremacy.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
yeah. So that is the news for the week. Do you remember whenever I started sneezing and couldn't stop? This has been rough, but I am glad we got through it.
We survived somehow.
John Hell Michael yeah. Bond, thank you for coming on the show. It's so good to finally have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Why don't you remind the folks again where the fuck to find you?
You can find me on Twitter at BonJohnBond or on Instagram at John Michael's Mistakes. My record goes on pre-order on Monday, October 7th. If you pre-order it on iTunes or Amazon or one of those places, and you shoot me a DM on Twitter or Instagram and show me proof that you ordered it, I will mail you some photographs from the tour. I'm mostly just excited to like get people out there and want to show people the pictures that I took.
Hell yeah.
So Andrew, order it and I will send you that photograph.
Everybody give John Michael Bond your home address. It's a really fucking fun album. You guys are going to love it. Kennedy, do either of us have anything?
You have a cold.
I have a cold. Oh, also, I do have something.
Don't share that, though, with others.
1 week from today, I will be in Toronto, which I think is allegedly in Canada, performing on the Punks Can't Laugh Fest with some friends, some bands, and a bunch of people I don't know. I will be having the time of my life in Toronto. And then 2 weeks after that, me and John Michael Bond will be down in fucking Florida at Fest.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. One of the best things you could do in Florida is head on down to Gainesville. And I would say buy tickets, but they've been sold out for months. But if you happen to be going to Fest, come say hi.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and I also I think I'm involved in a new podcast that just started. I don't even fucking know. I'll have more details about that, but it's called The Crumbling, and we'll figure it out eventually. I don't fucking know. So lots of plugs this week. Holy shit. But that's all of them. So tune in again next week for more bad news.